Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey, everyone. This is Julia Barbaro, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I'm here with Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Hi, Julia.
Hey, Gino.
I am excited today because this is the first guests that I have on, I think it's 300 shows we've had, that they actually have more kids than I do.
Yay.
I feel like I'm slacking. So, I mean, it's giving me some...
I think we're fine. I think we're doing okay.
I feel really great. I'm actually really blessed and lucky that they came into our lives. Names, Richie and Betsy Robertson Molitor. They're from Buena Vista, Colorado, small mountain town. They've been in real estate for nearly 20 years and they own two REMAX franchises. They currently own a duplex and are ready to expand with the Jake and Gino community. The light has definitely turned on. We see the value in multifamily investing and what it means for our family. As you can see, we have a large family, 10 kids, and our goals are to be able to visit them, nurture them, and enjoy them as they grow into their own families. And I think they're doing a wonderful job of that as it is. So welcome to the show, guys.
Yes, welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Great to be here.
So tell us a little about your story. How did you get into real estate? Well, let's go back. How did you guys meet? And the question that I always get, did you want to have 10 kids when you got married? Was that the goal?
Well, we met at a Christmas party in Denver. Some mutual friends had a party. And she was impressed that I could fix things house at her apartment. And then one thing led to another, and I don't think we set out to have 10 kids, but when we started having kids, we liked it so much, we kept having more.
Yeah, what? I never remember a conversation about we're going to have a huge family. It just kind of grew on us. Is how we defined it before.
What did you like about having the kids? I mean, but having a big family, what was attractive to you?
Go ahead.
Sure. We're a great team. He's a great dad. We loved kids and it just expanded our outlook. Loving on them and raising them up as arrows to send out into the world. And we see them as a blessing. And so to us, to stop that, it was difficult. And so we made a decision, a prayerful decision, that we wouldn't stop that and we would just keep, but we never dreamt that it would be 10. So,
It brings a lot of energy. There's always, our house is always full and
yes,
of right. life and just, especially full having a baby around. We're going to miss that. Our youngest is 4 now. So.
Okay. Mm. A lot of love.
So Betsy, I'm going to listen to that on rewind and I'm going to say that to my wife tonight. So maybe that might give me a little bit of,
you never know. You all see it. The sweetness of an older one hanging out with a younger one, it gives them perspective. It gives us perspective. There's nothing like it. I feel like to have that span and so many in and out of the home.
But going into that, you don't know all those blessings that happen.
You had mentioned that you're a good team. I want to kind of get into that a little bit because that's really the key to a successful family. Husband and wife as a good team. So tell me a little bit about what that means to you. You know, how do you stay supportive, encouraging? You know, even there's a lot of difficult times, you know, obviously you've been through a lot of pregnancies and all that, which is also very difficult. So just give us a little background on how you stay that really good, positive team.
I think part of being a team is not always trying to be the guy that's right. You know, that has really taken us a long way because, you know, I could prove I'm right, but I could just, you know, crush her in the process. And like entering with a level playing field, you know, that we both are going to mess up. So that's really kind of the core of how we believe and how we manage to operate as a team.
I mean, I would say philosophically, like heart-wise, that's what's behind. There's other ways logistically that the team works out, but I think he's really led us in that, just to remember that we're on the same team, because in the heat of a moment, you don't think that, or you're not acting that way. And he's always said, let's take off the gloves. Like, mm-hmm. we're on the same team, and let's remember that it's a level playing field, and we have the same goals and vision in mind, and we're acting like we're on opposite teams. So
I know there's a lot of pros to having a big family. I love having a big family. But for you, what are some of the cons? What are some of the negatives of having a big family? Like, I'll give you an example. For me, I just can't pick up and have 8 of us go on a plane tomorrow. You just have the spare. I need to have a minivan with 8 passengers. Every time we go to New York, we always have a 7 passenger and somebody sitting on the floor. And that's frustrating to me. That's probably the only negative in the grocery bill. Other than those two, for me, it's gravy. But do you guys have any other, you know, challenges?
I think, you know, when one child, you know, has a breakdown and says, you never just hang out with me.
You know? Oh my gosh. Thank you for saying that.
Always a diaper to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes more energy. You have to, especially to be intentional. And I don't know, you could see it as a negative or a positive, I guess, whatever way you look at it, but there isn't as much me time or couple time, but at the same time, we feed on being with them. So it is serving us, but you could, I guess, sometimes see that as a negative. And then agreeing with what you said, Gino, that's, you just can't pick up and go, you can't travel as much.
You can't do other things. Bike ride.
Well, we can't miss you.
I mean, it's always a struggle to do that, but. Yes. You know, our kids can't keep up with older kids. And so look for things that we can all do together.
But at the same time, when you're saying that, I think about, you know, like we were saying before, is the older kids are, they're figuring out how they are in the family with the younger kids at the same time. You know what I mean? Somehow we're all hanging out. They all have different, you know, interests and everything, but somehow we're finding a way to be together as a family with on a bike ride, and the oldest one is helping the younger one. And that is so beautiful. And I love that. That's what I love about the family, about a big family, is that the age is so different, but somehow they're all coming together.
So Richie, for me, when we moved to Florida, I had to buy bikes down here. So it's not one or two bikes, it's 8 bikes. And it's not like $100 a bike. It's like, and then we bought a golf cart. 3 months later, I can't get a regular 2-seater, right? I have to get the jumbo golf cart. So everything is like bigger. I call the jumbo. Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. But I mean, that's the only thing I see. And you know what? For me, it just motivates me to make more money, because I need to make more money for my family. So that's the I think it's my guiding principle for, I want to make enough money to be able to support them. But that's the only negative. I want to jump into homeschooling with you guys, because people must be saying to themselves, I can't homeschool my 2 kids. And you have 10. I know a couple of them are in college. What made you want to homeschool the kids?
For me, I remember clearly I didn't know that much about homeschooling. And if I had any thoughts about it, I thought it was weird. Little House on the Prairie-ish. Even though my kids were playing Little House on the Prairie this morning. But we got to meet a couple families, and I didn't even know they homeschooled, but I was attracted and drawn to their cohesiveness as a family, and also the way their kids interacted with my children or other children, because mine was a baby at the time, so with other children that weren't the same age. That was super a shift for me to see that going on, and to see their cohesiveness as a family. It was beautiful. So I started kind of eyeing that and watching it, and asked if I could join, found out that they homeschooled, and these two families, and asked if I could join their support group, even though my son was only, I don't know, 6 months old. And I just kind of was a fly on the wall and listening to these moms and learning. And then I just started reading a bunch of books, and he joined me in that journey, and was willing to look at it. And that's where it all started.
Wow. So Richie, I want to ask you a question, because for me, when my wife told me, I told you, I was working at the restaurant. I had principals coming in, teachers coming in. I had pressure from my family. I mean, it was tough for me, but I said, let's give it a shot. Did you have that same feeling, or were you open-minded and said, let's just do this?
I think I was open-minded. I think another thing that she didn't say what helped us was we had, after our firstborn, we moved to the small town.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason, the small town, it just, I don't know, it seemed like more of an option, and it opened my eyes. I think if we were still living in the Denver suburb we were in, we might not have discovered homeschooling. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Because there wasn't a lot of people
in our circle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. In your circle. So, Betsy, if I'm listening to this right now, sell me on homeschooling. What have you found it to be positive? I mean, how has it changed your life and your family's life?
It's definitely changed our lives. It's very much the rhythm of our home. I mean, I guess I would want to first say that I would never want somebody to feel like it's the only way.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say that I would have always said that. We used to make homeschool more of a must, and we were judgmental, and we've learned a lot about grace, and everybody's different, has a different story. So
mm-hmm.
that little preamble, but we, for us, it's become a lifestyle, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's not mm-hmm. like, I don't know, it's not like homeschooling and other stuff. It's mm-hmm. just our life, and it's fostered a love for learning. It allows us to be together. It allows us to cater to different children's learning needs and interests. It's fostered, you know, the relationships in the family that probably wouldn't be there. It's allowed us to hang out with them. I mean, that's a big thing for us when we're trying to explain it to others, is for us, we wouldn't be able to mentor, hang out, disciple, whatever you want to call it, your children, invest in them, shape their affections, if you will. If they were all at school and then doing sports, we wouldn't see them till dinner. Mm-hmm. And to have 10 kids that you're wanting and desiring to do that with, it just, we didn't see how that would be possible. So it's allowed us to have that grace and space, if you will, in our time and our schedule and our life of our family. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a lifestyle.
Yeah,
so,
I love that. I love that you said the lifestyle, because it is. It's not just about the books. It's not just, okay, now it's time for school. It's like the whole day is school. The whole day is learning. Whether mm-hmm. that's, you know, getting up and actually literally cleaning out the house this morning or, you know what I mean? There's so much learning and going on, and you can see the uniqueness in each person. And that's what I love homeschooling more than anything.
My kids made pasta with vodka sauce today. That's all I know. So I had a great lunch. So, I mean, they make omelets in the morning. So it's really amazing.
And that's my point. It's more to than just the spelling book. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, let's move on that. Let's, you know, maybe we don't want to sit at the table right now. Let's go outside and do it. You know, so it's definitely it's a freeing lifestyle, and I love it.
Now, Betsy, I see you paint the beautiful picture. I mean, you just laid it out there. It can't be all that rosy, because it's not all that rosy for us, mm-hmm. because there's days where it just ain't happening. There's no mojo.
Well, the funny thing is, real quick, is the kids are like, Mom, you can't use, I'm going to send you to school if you don't knock it off, because there is none right now.
Okay. We used to do that. We ran out of that excuse. So what are the challenges? What have you found as far as challenges throughout the day? Because unfortunately, you can't get rid of them. Go to your room. I mean, the room is right down. You're going to see them. So, you know, what challenges have you come across? If anybody's homeschooling or thinking about it, and, you know, challenges that you've had.
Mm-hmm. You chime in when you think of, but
yeah,
I guess I could talk about parent challenges, but then also about challenges from the kids' perspective at times mm-hmm. that we have experienced and heard. From our perspective, it's constant, since it is a lifestyle, as you all know. It's, you can't get away from it. I mean, you can get away from it partly, like this morning, we'd finished math and I just wasn't looking forward to going into the next grind. And I know sometimes it's hard to keep it as a beautiful thing that we want to lay the feast before them in learning and not drudgery. And I was kind of having a hard attitude. And then one of my little girls said, let's go look for birds, because she was hearing birds. So we just scrapped everything and went outside, mm-hmm. you know. So I guess the difficulty is that you can't get away from it at times. Mm-hmm. It is a lifestyle. It's not mm-hmm. like it's just an adage to your life. It's you have to sacrifice, and he does too. I mean, even though I'm the main one doing that, it is a sacrifice for him. And I think that they don't get that support enough. Whatever partner is not doing the rest of the homeschooling, because I can't, you know, be all smiley when he's coming home and lay out this beautiful lunch every day, or, you know, run his whatever he forgot briefcase to the office because I'm in school. We can't go have a date in the middle of the day. We can't do as much. I'm tired, you know. So those would be, that's what comes to mind as far as on our end. And then on our kids' end, you know, we've learned a lot. It hasn't always been rosy. I talked with my big ones yesterday, just telling them that we were doing this and was asking them questions. They're both in college and they're doing great. And of course we're biased, but we see them as very capable, beautiful souls, deep beyond their years, responsible, you know, all that stuff. But it was hard for them because in the beginning we were so strict about this is what you do, this is what it needs to look like. And it was more also, there was a part of us that was trying to keep them from the world and keep them from bad influence. And because we were in a small town, what that often looked like is that they weren't hanging out with hardly anybody. And so we've learned a lot the hard way with that. Trying to think of what else they would say on their
end. I feel like that, you know, even our kids, I feel like when you're first, you know, if you have, even if you didn't homeschool, you're trying to protect those first kids because you're so afraid that they're going to grow up, you know, in a bad situation or learning the wrong things. And then as the kids get older, you can actually have that conversation with them. You can talk to them. And then you're, and then with the younger kids, it's like, all right, I'm not going to worry as much because I have the evidence here. My older kids are talking to me and they're all there, you know, they're beautiful people. And, you know, you've raised these little kids into the people that are going to go out in the world. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, I don't have to worry so much. I just need to keep doing what I'm doing, be with them, you know, show them that they're loved and it's going to be okay.
Amen, sister. Yep. And I just had a lot to learn in that. And we've had to say sorry to them, but that's part of their story too. And they're stronger, going to be stronger for it. But yeah, trying to control too much when you're with them all the time, that is, I would say, is a tough thing that you have to remember that you're just stewards of them. You don't own them. They're not, you know, and they're their own people. They're all their own little people. So,
yeah. You mentioned the van, you know, and I think because we were always gung ho about let's have a vehicle where everybody can get in. Well, we had a few trips in the suburban, you know, early on, and it's just tight and just the kids get mad. And so I think if we could do it over again, we'd be like, okay, we'll take two cars.
My daughter kept trying to get us to buy the transit for years. I'm like, listen,
I didn't give into that thing. Fine, I don't want a transit. No, didn't give into that. I gave into everything else. Every other, it was that and dogs. We have no dogs, no pets, and no transit.
No dog. Okay, that's it. We had chickens.
Like having another kid. So.
It is. So
he can't clean up after himself.
That's right.
Betsy, let me ask you a question about how I felt. One of my drawbacks, I always felt as if we were never doing enough. I always felt as if my kids weren't smart enough. They didn't do enough school throughout the day. And I had that, like, maybe it was about me maybe feeling inferior and they're not doing as much schoolwork as other kids are. They only did 2 hours there, 3 hours there. Did you ever have that feeling as you were homeschooling?
Well, sure. I mean, how could you not?
Yeah,
but I had some wise mentors, but both in book, you know, authors that I was reading, trying to put myself under, but also just older women that had done that, and I think because what allured us to it was not so much, it was very, I mean, education's important to us, but it was also just the connection and relationship and what we were offering our kids character wise developing, and so. Yeah, there might be days where you just don't get this done, or you compare, right? That's our trap. We all fall into is looking at the next person and what they're doing.
I think just as parents, we feel that way, right? We're never giving our kids enough of ourselves, and it just, you know, there's only so much we can do. We're doing the best we can, and I think they know that. You know, whether they come to you and say, "Mom, I don't see you ever. I want to hang out with you." Meanwhile, they're in the same room with you the whole day, you know, I think that they know that. And I think as long as they know that they're loved, they'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you guys, if someone is listening to this and they say, I want to start homeschooling, what do you think the next steps for them are? What should they start doing? Because for you, it was great. You started hanging out with other homeschool families. And any resources pop up in your mind, any websites or anything that you could guide people to?
There's so many out there, Julia, as you know. It can become overwhelming. And it wasn't that way when I first jumped in. So I would say yes, but at the same time, you don't want to become overwhelmed with all the information because then it might just appear daunting. There is so much support out there. I mean, I would love to help anyone if they want to email me, but I think right now, I mean, there's so many free resources. I mean, I don't know if you want to just hear some websites or whatnot. Sure. I really like the Charlotte Mason approach. Mm-hmm. It's very conducive to just lifestyle and home. Right. It's not unschooling, but it's also not rigorous. We started out classical and it was pretty rigorous. And we've now moved more full circle to the Charlotte Mason approach, which you can just Google and anybody can read about it. But she was an educator from England, and the philosophy is more living books and inspiring learning rather than requiring it. So I've learned a lot through reading about her and her philosophy. And there's lots of Charlotte Mason websites, Khan Academy. There's a lot of free, if you look up free homeschooling, there's a lot of free homeschooling resources. We use a math curriculum that's like $50 a year that I don't even have to do much teaching. So there's lots of support. You could also just look in your local area and see what kind of support groups there are, and just go be a fly on the wall and ask questions and meet with live people that are doing it, because there's so many different ways to do it that you might want to find which way would work best for your family. You don't have to be an educator. You don't have to be, you just have to be, have a desire to connect with your kids and learn yourself along the way.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So I would be remiss if I didn't ask a couple of business questions on this podcast.
I know he's dying.
My wife always shies away from that, but this is the multi-family zone about families and about business. So for Richie, for you, how has it helped you having a large family with, you know, running a business? Because let me give you an example. For me, it's just so much communication. There's so much emotions involved. So when I deal with employees, I sort of have a little more empathy because I can see. And it just gives me a little bit more patience. Not as much as I should. I'm always working on that. But how does it help you?
Like the similarities between big family and business. Is that really what
you're saying? Yes, the similarities between big family and business. Yes. See? She reads my mind.
I love that, though. That just feeds into your ability to take whatever comes your way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go into the office and you hear people talk about people who don't have kids or they have one kid. I mean, so there's just a heavy workload on a dad of a big family, a large family, and homeschooling. So it just really has helped me. I think, like you said, I think you said it perfectly, that you can handle all the stress at the office, you know, and just glide right through it compared to what, I mean, it's just a great training ground.
I like that.
Too. You're really sensitive to others. Not that you wouldn't be without, but it's kept you.
So let me ask you another question about that. Having such a large family, people always ask me, how do you get so much done? What do you do in your day? I'll give you an example for myself. I really know what I have to do that day. I schedule my day out. I write down my daily or my weekly, and I get things done and I block time. What tips or techniques do you use to get stuff done? Because you have two offices, you're managing a ton of people.
Time blocking is key. I think I like the book, The One Thing, you know, powering down on, that's kind of been the story of my life. That's how I get through, is I kind of turn everything else off and I focus on this in order to get it done. And so I might drop the ball in other areas, but I kind of have this inner sense of what is the most important thing to do. And at least I think that's the most important thing. And I try to get that done to move the ball forward, you know, to get another yard, you have to be doing things that progress you, just managing the chaos.
So can, is it easy to say that your teammate, like my teammate, helps you to do that, to time block, because because when you have things to do, you're not worried about making lunch, or you're not worried about doing certain things. You're at the office and you're focusing on certain things. So that's what makes you a great team. Mm-hmm. Would that be easy? Would that be suffice it to say that? Because for me, I have feel the same thing. When I'm here working, I don't have to worry about doing certain things in the household. And it's just a really easy, liberating for me. I can actually focus and concentrate. And that's what I think a lot of people can't do, that because they're running around, they have so many different activities going on, and they can't time block because they're worried about going somewhere. So for me, it's been a blessing to have my wife being able to stay home and work with the kids and focus on the kids.
Yeah, she's amazing. I don't know how she does it all. I don't recognize it enough. I really mm-hmm. don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't realize how hard her job is. And so...
don't talk right now. Let's keep going. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm gonna
edit. Let them keep going.
I'm gonna edit that little piece out right there, everybody. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created. Buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply.
No, but Gino, I actually do love to hear that, because so many people out there, both sides of it, because we could be guilty on that end too, as you know, I'm a stay-at-home mother, stay-at-home wife, and I could also say, you know, you're coming home, can you give me a hand? You just worked 8 hours plus straight on the computer, and I'm overwhelmed. Come, you know what I mean? So it goes both ways, and that's something to remember. Even though we're exhausted, because
plenty of that.
Yes. Have you got the phone
plenty
call?
Plenty of that.
The phone call that says, "Come home now."
That's you awesome. Need to be at your office and talk to adults. And
yes.
Do you even know what my days look like?
I have to say that's probably the biggest challenge. And all the kids are little. And the conversations are just so, come on, I just want to talk to an adult. Please, somebody come over. Come, you know, it's exhausting. And it's just all the time. And you're giving your full self to these little people. And you know how important it is. But in the moment, you're just like, what am I doing? Should I be out in the world, like doing something? Or is this all there is? And, you know, it's hard when I look back. I remember that. I remember it was, you know, wintertime in New York, just being with all these little kids for days and days and days and not having an actual adult conversation, super lonely, yes. You know, but now that the kids are older, I'm like, okay, it was all worth it. And I see it. And I just want to encourage everyone out there with little kids that it is worth it. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's so great, Julia. I have such a heart to encourage younger moms in that, because mm-hmm. we do know what that was like. And I mean, we can relate to that, and to just applaud them and see the value in what they're doing, and how they're investing in these little souls every day, and mm-hmm. the importance that is, because the world is pulling us and saying that's there's more important things to be doing. So I like that word, and it's great to have a partner who sees the value in that, because we mm-hmm. need to be hearing that. And likewise, like I said before, that he allows me to do that.
Right.
It would be nice if I would be bringing in more money and working. Sure. Right? It would help us. But mm-hmm. he sees the value in that. And that's really supportive. So,
mm-hmm. Betsy, I don't know if you thought about this question, but what are you going to do when your kids get a little bit older?
She's going to retire.
She's not going to retire because she's still young. So, yeah, I mean, you're so multitaskable. But let's say when your youngest is, you know, 15 or 16, you're going to have a lot. You're going to be working with your husband. Are you retire? Retired? There's no such thing as retired.
I remember when my grandma, she had 9 children. And we would come over, you know, she was older at the time. And she'd be in her sunroom doing the crossword puzzle, completely content. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be me. I just want to be content in a quiet room.
I'm doing crossword. That ain't me. You're in the room by yourself with that one, lady. I'm out of it. I ain't doing crossword puzzles. I'm going.
We'll do it at the beach.
I hope to be working more with him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also just, we know that our kids will be older and starting their families, and so want to have time and space to be a part of that in whatever way. And I definitely don't want to check out. So I think still family, it will just be a different season. And also be doing more real estate with him would be a joy. I would love that.
So that's my question. So the both of you do real estate together. Do you include the kids in that? Are they interested? And how have you approached it to them? Because sometimes, you know, we've been guilty of this too, is we'll like force a book on the kids and they're not interested at the time. Maybe in a couple of years we should have waited, but what do your kids think about the business?
I don't think we try to push them too hard, you know, like force them into it. But I think maybe not real estate, but we definitely encourage entrepreneurship, you know, them getting out there and helping.
They all start working at a young age.
Yeah. And they all have great work ethics. You know, I don't know if that's with you all too, but it's like they stand out. You know, all the local employers like want to hire them.
That's number one. You know, I actually wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about just real estate, but because you said that, that actually is super important, that the work ethic is so important in anything that you do.
Yeah, we hope, I mean, I don't think my, you know, if they want to come in my business now, they can be a real estate agent, but I would really love to build a, you know, an investment company where there could maybe be some more options for them to plug into.
And multifamily.
Yeah, right, which I don't have right now, but.
I would say just organically too at the table at night. I mean, he's talking about his day and deals and negotiations, and that's always been a part of discussion. So they're more familiar, and I'm excited about your youth course. I think things like that. We've done a couple Dave Ramsey things for them that they've listened to and been a part of for homeschooling. You can kind of cater. Our oldest right now that's at home has read a lot of real estate books and kind of crafted a elective for him. So he's just studying things he wants to study in that arena. So,
I mean, my mom was a real estate broker. She owned a company in Southern Cal. So, and I learned, you know, from them, my parents having conversations. We did a few fix and flips and just learning that. So, our kids have been helping us. We bought the duplex we bought. We totally gutted it and facelift, and they all helped.
Everyone worked. Yeah.
So, like a fun family project.
Right.
That's awesome.
So, I think I met your son yesterday. I think everyone at that age should start doing sales. So, sales, especially in your business with real estate. That is the best skill, because that can translate into anything. You can always get a job in sales. And you know, we did a podcast last week on negotiation, and basically you're negotiating with your parents, you're negotiating with your employers, you're negotiating. And if you can become a good salesperson and sell yourself, those skills are invaluable. So
yeah, I never realized how important sales was until very recently.
Until very recently, yeah. Really? Why very recently?
Well, because I watched you guys working once, and I'm like, oh, that's actually important in life. Just just in life, you know?
See, now the truth comes out. Now you're watching me work. So, Julia, sales is everything in life. I mean, like if you and we always have that bad picture about sales,
that's
is
the
right.
Problem.
Yeah. You want to find impact together. You want to work with somebody else and be able to share and add value to the other person. People don't look at that as sales.
Yeah.
And you know, what Richie's, when he's selling a home, that's what his number one goal is, not to sell the highest price home, but to sell a home to a family that they want a house that has three bedrooms. They want a house that adds value to them. So that's important.
I think you said it though. I was listening to your podcast where you talked about sales the other day with youth, and it made me think about, Julia, like in homeschooling, the older kids, persuasive speeches, persuasive writing is really important.
Yeah.
And so I think, quote, selling it to them in school is that this is sales. And just like you want to win this argument with your parent or your sibling, And that's why I've loved this one curriculum, because it's all about how to refute these arguments that you're going to know you're going to hit. Mm-hmm. So that's sales, right? So being able to persuade.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem sometimes is when everyone's on top of you trying to persuade you at the same time. It's like, hold on. It's like, you know what? Just all go do it. It's fine. Just hold on. There's a lot of people talking to you at the same time. And then your husband comes in. It's like, can you help me with the video? It's like, oh, brother.
You feel the pain? You feel the pain?
I feel the pain. Do you guys like the movie Cheaper by the Dozen, Steve Martin?
My kids watched it recently, and I'm like, why did I might have watched it years ago, but who knows?
I'm writing it down, Cheaper. I'm going to remember.
Oh, you have to watch it. Let us know. We know every line. All of our kids do it.
You know what's great? We have a once-a-week co-op here where the kids always have to do a presentation. Mm-hmm. Only like a minute or two long, but that, I think, has really been beneficial, and all of them don't have a problem getting up. Mm-hmm.
That's huge. That is so big, because I mean, for me, I was terrified of public speaking, and then my husband told me I had to do a podcast with him. So
I didn't tell her. I asked her nicely. Yeah. I coerced her.
He sold it to me.
You see,
like,
that?
We can help people. I'm like, oh, brother. Okay. Yeah, but it is. That's huge for little kids, and especially there's always one in the family. We have one that's petrified of public speaking, and it's funny because she's so outgoing, and I can't figure it out, but she's so me, you know, and it's just that nervousness that, you know, that's one of the things that I do love to school the kids at home, is that you know them so well, and you know how to work with them. You know how to talk to them a little bit differently. And that's what's so beautiful about it. You know, everyone is so unique, and even the kids, and they do grow up differently, and it's okay, you know?
One of my last things I want to ask you is, I can't believe you guys do this, which is great. You said you do Strength Finder to find out that is awesome. Can you tell people about that? Because I do DISC assessments for myself and all my team members, because if I'm a dominant and I'm talking to someone who's more conscientious, I'm going to have to be able to speak to them in a different tone. So this is pretty cool for parents to be able to use with their children.
I am so glad you asked, because it has been a game changer for us, for our family. I know a little bit about how it compares to DISC, but I think it's just a little bit more thorough. Mm-hmm. It takes 20 minutes to take this test, and it's been done over like 50 million people. So they have all these stats, but it's Gallup Strength Finder. And it's meant so much to our family that I've been mentoring and training. And so I'm being able to be a coach, and for the sole purpose of, I'm excited to help families. So I've been doing it we've done that test. They even have a test that's for younger. I think it's like 8 to 10 or something like that. So you can do it down to 7 or 8 years old. And it's just given us semantics to know each other's strengths and to understand each other, and God's thumbprint on each person. Mm-hmm. And so we have that reference point when we're talking, whether it's a sibling conflict or if we're having a problem with a child about a certain situation, we can first stop and see how they're seeing it, because we've studied their top 5 strengths and how they basically see the world and how they act and what they're, and it also helps us to look at what's right in each other and work from there and put them in contexts where they can flourish, as opposed to let's work on your weaknesses.
Right.
That's the whole premise, is let's work on your strengths and get them from the talent level to the strength level, from the basement to the balcony. And so we've become students of the strengths of our kids and each other. And it's, and we have our kids study and write a paper on it. And really learn themselves before they are going to go off, just so that they can be better equipped and understand. Mm. So it's been huge for us.
I love that. So I'm going to leave a link in the show notes for that. So I make two quick observations. The first one, it's back to business, right? Strength Finders for the family and Strength Finders and DISC for the business. And the second observation, Julia, I just found what Betsy's going to do when she retires. She's going to be a coach. So you see that? There's no such thing as retiring. You see that?
Well, I've already kind of doing that on the side, but yes, I would love to do it more. I'm very excited about it. I think it's been a wonderful tool. So
good. That's awesome. That's great.
We'll do that tonight as a family. That will be interesting.
You want to do that?
I do.
Yes. Good.
Yeah. Well, I already have it open.
I'd love to help you. So after you take it.
Yeah. That'd be great.
That would love that.
Anything else, guys, you want to add before we sign off?
I would just encourage people. I thought of one thought that's always stayed in my head with homeschooling, and that was a comment Betsy made when our kids were little, when we were first getting into it. And that is, you know, when kids are little and they say something, but you're the only one that can figure out what they're trying to say. Mm-hmm. And because, so imagine if they had that experience at school and you come home and you have no idea what they're talking about. Home. Yeah. And so I love that we have that connection with our mm-hmm. kids where we know every little nuance, like you said, about them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a great.
It is so true.
I think, but if you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess I would just say, since there's so many of us we're home now anyway, and we're quote homeschooling, whether we've chosen to or not, just to encourage those parents out there, whether you're a single mom or not, just that you can do this. You know your children well. You can be a student of your children during this time. And even if you just stop and sit on the couch and read a good book, mm-hmm. And just be together and learn together, that you can do this. And we can see this time then as a blessing rather than a curse. And I don't want to belittle the hard time that it is for so many, but I just think that that is one gift that this can bring. And I just want to be a cheerleader and say, you all can do this. This can be a time where we can just invest in them. And like I said, learn together and just capitalize on things that they might be interested in. And so, yeah.
Betsy, you forgot one thing though. You forgot the hot chocolate.
Please, have hot chocolate, light a candle. Morning time is our favorite time of the school day, and we gather as many of them that can, and we just sit on the couch. Here in Colorado, many times we have a fire going, and we get whatever you're excited to drink, get a special drink, maybe a special snack, and we just sit and read from various things together. So Gino challenged me yesterday, so we're going to throw our real estate into the mix and pick a real estate book. But we just read from different things together, and it's a great family time, and they're learning, and we're learning with them.
That's beautiful. Awesome. Beautiful. Where can the listeners get a hold of you if they want to reach out to you?
Richie, you
would say? My email is R as in Richard, F as in Frank, and then our last name, Molitor, Molitor, @gmail.com. And my phone number is 719-395-8585.
Wow.
And I'll just give my Gmail, rbmolitor @gmail.
All right.
I have Instagram and Facebook, not super active, but that's another way. And I would, please don't hesitate. I would be happy to be a cheerleader, encourage any of you mamas out there.
That's beautiful. I love that you offered that, because a lot of us do need that support. You know, even if you're, you know, even the two of us, we do still need that support. Sometimes we just feel overwhelmed and we're not doing enough, and you know, just what it is. But you the two of you are beautiful, beautiful couple. I love to see another family, you know, with all their challenges and everything, you're still encouraging each other. You're still supporting each other, you know, in the midst of, you know, all those hard times. You're still together. Your family's part of it. Your business is growing because of it. And I just think that's wonderful.
We want to thank you guys for being on the show. And please, everybody, when somebody gives out a telephone number, it means they really want you to call, right? So he gave it to you, and he gave you his email address, and Betsy gave her email address. If you have any questions or any reservations, if they can do it, we can do it. You can do it. And it's life changing, and it's not easy. Let me just end it by saying, it's nothing is easy in life. Anything that's worth it is going to be hard, right? You're not handed anything, but it's so worth it. And all those times that I yelled at my wife and I said, the kids aren't doing enough. It's worth it, because the kids are in college. Can't believe my kids are actually gotten to college. That was the bar for me, right? They got in. So I was like, I'm a success, right? So
see, there he goes again with the I'm a success.
We're a success.
Just kidding.
Say that when things are going well, but when they're not,
it's hard. But
remember that kids aren't our report card, right? Right. I mean, we pour into them, but you still have to be a yourself.
Absolutely. So.
Thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate it. And thanks for being on the show. And if everybody likes the show, if you like the show, please leave us a review. We really love it. And take care, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks.